jump into our book. Does anybody need a book? I got a couple with me. You don't have a book, and or I only have two with me right now. I got more in back, but if you've not been given a book, I'll give you one. If you don't have one at all, if you have one just at home, I'll let you use one, and then you can turn it back in. Anybody at all? Yes? Okay, that's all right. Use it for now. Turn that one back in if you get. You want to? Yeah. Have I given you one yet? What's that? Yeah. No? Well, you can have that as long as you keep coming back for Sunday school. There's only two I got. But anyway, we're just going to be here a little bit. Really, you don't necessarily need a book, but it might help if you do. Page 57 in that book. And then if you want to turn over to 1 Corinthians 2 as well. 1 Corinthians 2. I need a bigger desk up here, I think. Amen. All right, why study the Bible? So I'm just trying to get through. I know we raced through some last week in reference to this. And just so we can get to this next section, I don't want to spend a lot of time here, but I do want to spend enough because if we're not really interested or if we don't see the reason to study, then we're just not going to. Amen? Because what we put our time to what we see as important. And I recognize that people do what benefits them. You say, well, that is horrible. We all do it, amen. That's how we're made, amen. We only have so much of us to go around. We only have so much time. We only have so many resources. We only have, you know, what we have. And there's no doubt a million things we'd like to be doing at any given moment. Maybe not a million, maybe only 10 or 20. But we just can't, be in, you know, two places at once. We can't do that. God didn't make us that way. So we have to be able to discern what to do at any given moment. Amen? Yes.
Jesus was the author of the Bible, so we need to study to know his footsteps to follow him.
Correct. But before we will do that, we have to see it as important. Right? And I think that's where a lot of us are. We evaluate day by day, moment by moment. We evaluate things based on how impending or how important things are at the moment, right? Because we would all agree, studying the Bible is important, right? But if your house is on fire, is that the time to study your Bible?
No.
You probably want to go ahead and get a hose, amen? Call the fire department, get that coming, right? You see what I'm saying? And so, really, our lives dictate what we do oftentimes, right? Anybody here like to eat? Anybody like? Every one of you should be raising your hand right now because I know you all like to eat, amen? Amen. I do too. You know, there's a time to eat, but you can't eat all the time, right? And so we look at everything and we evaluate it and we give spots of time for the things that we see as important, right? If you don't pray throughout your week, it's because you don't see it as important, right? Now, I can get up here and yell at you about that. I can make you feel bad over it. I can put a guilt trip on you. Or I can just teach the Word of God and let God do those things. Amen. But at the end of the day, you do what you do because ultimately you see a value in it. Amen. If coming to church is not a value to you, you won't keep coming. A lot of times in ministries, we just put pressure on people and say, God wants you to do this. And no doubt, that's probably true, everything that's preached like that. But a lot of things you're not going to do just because God wants you to do it. You're only going to do it if you see it as something that's valuable to you. Make sense? You say, well, it shouldn't be that way. Well, it is. You just go ahead and get over that, amen? It's just the way it is, amen? It's something that you want to do. So this whole section we're looking at is trying to show you all these reasons why you should want to put some time to studying your Bible. Now, the Bible says study is a weariness to the flesh, meaning your flesh does not want to study the Bible. Is that right? Okay. So if you're solely operating based on your flesh, will you ever study the Bible? No. Why not? Because your flesh doesn't want to. Does that make sense? Okay. Yes. That's right. But that's not true study. That's searching for a soundbite out of the Bible so I can shut you up. Right. So does that make sense? The people that are carnal only study it long enough to use it against somebody. Right? But we engage in lifelong study because we want to know the author of this book. Right? And we understand that. let me ask you this. Has anybody ever been on the ocean, like in a boat, cruise ship, maybe flew over the ocean and looked at that big body of water? Anybody? Okay. Do you know that in the ocean there are currents? And if you go against a current, you could be traveling at, say, 30 knots and really not be going anywhere. Does this make sense? In the air, in the jet stream in the air is over 100 knots. We'll just say for our 100 miles an hour. So if you're in an airplane, like Micah was, and flying to Australia, all right, your airplane may be going, we'll say 600 knots, but the ground speed is probably only about 340, 330 miles an hour. Why? Because you're going against the airstream. Now, coming back, you catch that airstream and your ground speed pumps up to like 450, almost, I think, more like 500. It is fast because that current is so strong. Can we see those? Do we see them in the water? Do we see them? You know, if you can somehow have a means to gauge a little, but not really, you don't see those currents. So the only way we know they're there is because someone put some effort to it to figure this out, right? Well, there are currents in our lives, and they're very hard to see, right? Jesus said to Saul, which became Paul, it's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Okay, what he was saying was this. The course of life you chose is directly against the current because it's against me, right? And he said, it can't profit you. He told it basically, this can't work out well for you. Okay, so what you learn coming to church, hopefully, studying the Bible, what you learn in life are where all those hidden doors are, where all those currents are that you want to grab hold of. That's what you learn from your Bible. You don't have to study it. But man, the way of the transgressor is hard. You don't have to go the hard way. Amen? Yes.
I'm trying to remember the exact wording, but it talks about the Spirit. You can't see it, but you can see the effects.
Yeah, the wind blows where it bloweth, where it listeth. And thou canst see whence it cometh, whither it goeth, right? And he's talking, it's in John 3, talking about how the Spirit of God moves, right? And the Spirit of God, the pneuma of God, the wind, he's also described as water, will either hoist our sail and catch the wind of God, or maybe we won't hoist our sail and have to do it all ourselves, or maybe we'll hoist our sail and go directly against God's wind. And that's what a lot of Christians do. They hoist their sail thinking that they're doing right because they're doing it based on their understanding. And they're actually working against God. I was thinking about when the disciples were in the boat, right? It got so bad they didn't even know where they were going, right? But when Jesus showed up, he calmed that sea. And then, by the way, it's almost like he just transported them because instantly they were at dry ground. That's the miraculous side of God, and that's why we want to study the Bible. This book will remove you from mere mortal status and will give you a supernatural understanding of how things work that will enable you to operate in a way that nobody else on earth can, through problems, through situations, through everything. That's why you want to study your Bible. This book will do for you more than anything else on earth can. But more than money, you need the Bible.
Right.
Amen. Does that make sense? More than friends, you need Bible. First, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then it says all these things shall be added unto you. So that's why we want to study. So on page 57, I had you turn over to 1 Corinthians 2, but it's to learn how to think. Does anybody here think they know how to think? That's right. Man says, if you think you know anything, you know nothing as you ought to know. That's what it says. As a matter of fact, and in Proverbs, it says, but trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Whoa. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways, what a way. It's a path. It's a direction. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. It's an acknowledge. Right. It's not just, so knowledge is in there, right? And knowledge means that we actually know it and then we apply, we believe it. Right? We acknowledge his truth. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. You see? And so that's why it's important that we learn to study the Bible. Just wanting to do right isn't enough. Because there's a way that's given right of the man. But then there are other ways of doing it. Amen? Everyone starts off in a race, whether it's a foot race, whether it's a car race, a triathlon, whatever. Every one of those people set out wanting to win. As Paul said, only one receives the prize. So run that ye may attain. And you know who wins? The one who put enough effort and study and preparation into it. Exciting. The life is at the point. How many here? This week coming up, I think 29th today. We're going to go through 31st. That's all the blessings. Does anybody think that people are decorating more for Wicked Bean than ever before? Isn't it crazy? Anyway, every time I see a display of Wicked Bean, I say they hate me to death as I'm driving by that property. Where they keep you all that stuff? Yes. There are. Yeah, all that shows you is what church you don't want to go to. And listen, if someone doesn't have enough spiritual discernment that they know that's not a holiday we as Christians celebrate, if you don't have that much spiritual discernment, something's really wrong in your life. And I'm not trying to be hard on you. I'm just saying, if Jesus was walking the earth today, would he be trunk or treating? Would he be going out? Would he be dressing up even as a good? No. Matter of fact, he says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. That's the word of God. Anyway, so again, just knowing scripture will help you. Does that make sense? And it'll put you down right back. Does anybody this week, is anybody setting out to have a horrible week? No. Is anybody setting out this week for everything to go wrong and for you to get to Saturday at the end of the week and just regret that week ever had. Is anybody setting out that way? No? Well, if you did, at least that'd be an easy mark. Right? My goal this week is to have a horrible week. Man, that's an easy one to hit. Right? None of us start off that way. But do you know by the end of this week, some in this room might be in that case. Right? Because we chose the wrong path, right? I was talking to someone this week, and they have a friend that ended up in jail for bad reasons, amen? Once bailed out, and there's no one there to bail them out. Now they're stuck in jail. How close are we to being locked up this week? Close. Any one of us could get locked up this week if you choose the wrong path. Right? You don't think that you're immune to that. No. One series of bad decisions. It's usually not one bad decision, right? It's two or three kind of compound. Who knows where we could find ourselves at the end of this? Just 1 week, right? Now, do we want that to happen? No. Is it possible? Absolutely. If we go the wrong way. Does that make sense? That's why this is important. That's why this is important. Amen? And so, anyway, learn how to think. We need to learn how to think. 1 Corinthians 2, verses 14 through 16. Who wants to read that? I saw a hand. 1 Corinthians 2. Yes, go ahead. 14 through 16. 1 Corinthians 2.
But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judge of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ.
Okay. Christ was not confused about his way on earth, his path, right? Everything he did was perfect because he, in his mind, was above this world, right? And knew the paths to take. The Bible says that we as Christians have the opportunity to be one with the mind of Christ. It doesn't happen naturally, right? In this text, it says that the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are what? Foolishness unto him. That's right, they're spiritually discerned. So when the world gets upset with what you want to do, what does that say to you? I'm probably on the right track. Anybody have family that's not saved and they think you're crazy for how you live? I see a big hand going up. Amen. Yeah. Now, that should not discourage you. That should encourage you. Say what? Mark this verse down. You read that thing. Next time that happens, you read that. Now, don't use it to slam them, because they're operating the only way they know how. Right? If they're not saved, they do not have access to the Spirit of God to lead them in the ways of Christ. They just don't have access. So what they need is they need Jesus. I got my mom when she was living. We were real early on. Man, she caught wind of how we were going to raise our kids. And man alive, I got to listen to that a lot. Amen. And her mocking and ridiculing of me on that end. And she finally said, we'll see how long this lasts. You know, like, because I would jump from one thing to another a lot. But in reference to Christianity and how we were going to raise our kids, she thought we were crazy for wanting to homeschool. And I finally just said to her, Mom, I said, my only goal in homeschooling is just to teach my kids how to read. That's my goal. And I said, so I just want them to be able to read the Word of God. So that's my goal, right? I said, but I am not putting my kids under the influences of that public school system. I'm not. And so she finally realized that I was serious, and we stopped talking about it. Amen. She didn't agree with me, but we stopped talking about it. And because I put my foot in the sand and said, Mom, I'm just telling you the way it is. You can get mad at me if you want. You can stop talking to me if you want. You can talk behind my back to others if you want. It doesn't matter. It's not going to change how Dana and I, and my mom always blamed Dana in the beginning for how I had changed. It's pretty funny. So it's not Dana, it's the Lord, you know. But it's just the way it is. We all experience that. And the reason is because the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. It's foolishness to them. People look at us and think we are absolutely insane. I'll tell you when we ought to be troubled is when the world looks at us and says, good job. That's when we ought to be troubled. Like, woo, they like the way I'm going right now. That ought to trouble us. Amen. And so don't be upset about the fact that others don't like the way you're trying to do. You just make sure that you're following the ways of God as you study His Word. So that's what this teaches. So the natural man receiveth not. They're spiritually discerned. Amen. That means we need to be spiritual, judging all things. That's what it says in this text, right? We judge all things, proving all things, right? What's good and acceptable concerning God. And so in verse number 16, for who hath known the mind of the Lord? That's a good question. Who hath known the mind of the Lord? Well, it ends up, well, we have the mind of Christ. So we ought to know the mind of the Lord. And by the way, there's safety in multitude of counselors. So we that know the Lord, we develop a group that we can talk through these things, right? Because we're deceivable too, and we can be led astray. We're careful. And so we want to go in that right way, and we understand all the pressures against us. And so we develop a good group of people that also know the Lord, and we bounce things off each other, right? As we try to help each other. And that's what we're doing in this class. That's what we do as a church. And it's because we want to learn not only what to do, man, we want to learn how to think. I want to learn how I should process things. Amen? And that's what we see under this paragraph. In the first paragraph, he says, serious study of the Bible produces right thinking. The Bible is God's word, and God's thinking is right. We would agree with that, right? God's thinking is right. His word not only teaches man what to think, but also how to think, how to use one's God-given mind, which is the chief aspect of being made in God's image. Look over at Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4 on this same note. Ephesians 4 and beginning in verse number 20. He gives a little testimony of his own life on that next paragraph. And he actually says towards the latter end of that, he says, I cried out to God for help, and the help came by the Spirit of God and by the Bible itself as I studied it intently. I love the first sentence of that third paragraph. The Word of God is orderly, clear, precise, dynamic, depictive, meaning it illustrates, it's elegant. And it says, in all of these characteristics affect how the Bible student thinks. Amen. And so God has given us richly all things to enjoy. That does not mean he's given us sin to enjoy, because he didn't give us sin. What God has given us, he's given us to enjoy. So you can't run off and go sin and say, thank you, God, that was enjoyable. No, he's not given us sin. He's given us righteousness. He's given us what's good. All good gifts come from above, it says in James, right? And cometh down from the Father of life, Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Amen. And so God's gifts to us are good. Not everything is good. What he's given to us is good. And that's what we should enjoy, what he's given. Amen? Does that make sense? All right, so last text we'll look at, Ephesians 4, beginning in verse number 20. Kind of a longer text. Who wants to read that? 20 through 30, if you can. John C. Yes.
But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which is after God, is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers.
Verse 30?
30, okay. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption.
I'll go ahead and finish it out. The last two verses. 31, 32, go ahead.
Okay, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you.
Amen. Listen, in that text, I love this text, by the way, because it not only tells us how we should live, in a lot of cases it tells us why, right? Let me ask you a question. After hearing Brother John read that text in Ephesians, Is that what most people in life do? Do they follow that? Is that the course of life for most people? I mean, if you think about what was just given there, in Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse number 20, talk about learning Christ. You have not so learned Christ. And then if you've been taught by him, verse 21, and then it goes on, we're going to put off the old man, right, and put on the new. We're going to be renewed in the spirit. And it goes through this list. And it says, put away lying. Do most people in life lie? Yes. Speak truth every man to his neighbor, right? And then it gives reason, for we're members one of another. If we lie, we are giving false information to somebody. That's what lying is. If you give false information, or information that's wrong, doesn't help, but it hurts, right? Well, if we're sowing lies to people, they're going to potentially act upon that. And if they act upon that, will that be good? No, it can't be, right? Ultimately, okay, what makes a lie, in God's scenario, is the fact that it's false info, meaning it's not true. If you breed error into anything, will that work out good? No. That's why if you believe it to be wrong, to him that knoweth do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Why? Because to him it's wrong, and that affects your conscience. Does that make sense? So there's the issue of what I believe to be right or wrong, then there's the issue of what really is right or wrong. And a lie is against the truth. If we're breeding lies, it's not going to be good. Well, this passage says stop it. No more lies. Any lie. Right? That's what it says. And so if we would follow this, how about this? Be angry and sin not. Does the world live in anger? Oh, yeah. Should we? No, we're to put it off. That's what it says. And it even goes there. Neither give place to the devil. Well, what is that? That's giving him an advantage on, giving him a place that he might dwell in our mind, in our life. These are things that this whole text is amazing. If you've stolen, stop it. Steal no more. Instead, go get a job. That's what it says. Let him labor, working with his hands. This is a verse for this generation. Amen. Amen. Say, my kid's not stealing. He's living in your house. He ain't paying nothing. He's stealing. I just killed it. Amen. Yes?
If we were at home, we had chores to do. We got paid to do those chores.
This generation wants to be able to live there, and they expect you to pick up after them, do their laundry, fix them meals, provide them everything they want, their little energy drinks, their little whatever. And what are they going to do? They're going to give you a hard time. That's what they're going to do. Because you didn't do it good enough. What are they doing? They're robbing from you. So what should you do? Kick them out. Woo! Amen. If they're 18. Don't kick them out if they're 3. You can't expect a 3-year-old to be working yet, Audrey. Don't. No. Or 5 or 6. Amen. But if they're 18, listen. Do you know what rent costs nowadays? Do you know what it costs to live? They don't, because you don't share that with them. They need to start working. Say why? This verse. They're stealing from you. They're stealing resources from your family. And you're letting them do it. Well, there we go. Yes.
Money, even if it's a penny, a nickel, a dime, that's what we usually got, is to teach them first about money, for the responsibility of doing things, and then the joy of being able to go out and play afterwards.
Yeah, the work reward. And listen, right. You don't necessarily have to charge rent and all those things, but there's a difference between a kid that's acting responsibly and a kid that's not, right? If you have kids that are working, they're making, I'm not saying extort all their money from them, I'm saying teach them how to manage that. If they're making money, they're putting money back into that home, right? But if they're just sponging off you, I'm telling you, that's a problem. That's not biblical. God has not taught. God teaches us how to have a proper work ethic, how we love people, how we're givers. We're not takers, we're givers. Amen? And so we want to make sure we're teaching that very quickly because we're out of time. Audrey, go ahead. Just say, here's your pay. You get to pet it. Amen. Yeah. You get to pet it and listen to it purr. Amen. Yes.
Well, I'm not of the opinion that kids ought to be paid for everything.
No.
And I was very impressed with a couple of the families that have come through here, missionaries.
Yes.
They have ministries of helps. And I have seen over and over, the Bible says, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also receive.
Yeah, read it.
And I've seen over and over, the people that learn to be givers and helpers. And
yes.
Always trying to help meet the needs of other people. They'll never have to worry.
Right.
Because God always puts somebody there
right.
to help them and you know.
That's good. Yeah, so it's not that you want to, you're trying to, you know, extort money complete. You just want to teach kids principles so that they become givers. And once someone becomes a giver, they're a blessing to be around. Do you like being around people that are givers? Do you like being around people that are takers? No, you like walk the other way, right? You don't want to be around them. Well, you don't want to teach your kids to be that person. Amen. You want them to be a blessing. Amen. And so anyway, good principles. We learn this type of thinking where? The Bible. Do we learn it from the world? No. No, we don't learn it from the world. The world says that everybody should be paying your way, right? Give to my cause. Give to my, no, that's not Bible. Amen. So that's this. We're going to jump to the next topic. Actually, we'll probably jump back and finish up the topic on the rapture next week. And then we'll start moving on and start getting into the practical ideas of how we can study the Word of God together. So thank you. Good class today. Let's pray. Thank you, dear God, for today. Thank you for this time together. Please bless richly, Lord, what's gone forth.